Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotionals. Today we're going to continue on in the Gospel according to Mark, and today's passage comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 14 to 29. It's a little bit of a longer passage today, so I recommend actually opening up your Bible or your Bible app and following along with me. Once again, it's Mark chapter 6, verses 14 to 29. All right, verse 14. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said he is Elijah. Another said he is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his nobles, and military commanders, and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to her, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in the tomb. All right. So yesterday we read about Jesus commissioning his 12 disciples to go and heal the sick, to go from town to town, to cast out demons and unclean spirits, to call for repentance. And as they were doing that, people were presumably asking, whose disciples are they? I heard they're disciples of Jesus, this guy from Nazareth. Jesus, who has been healing the sick and casting out demons as well, doing miraculous things. And people weren't sure about who Jesus really was. And so there was a lot of guesses as to who Jesus was. The first guess was perhaps he was the resurrected John the Baptist. The second guess was Elijah. Elijah, who was known to have been caught up to heaven without dying and would return at the end of time. And the third guess was perhaps he was a prophet like one of the prophets of old. And this is probably coming from Deuteronomy chapter 18. So these three guesses, John the Baptist resurrected, Elijah, and a prophet like one of the prophets of old. There's this confusion amongst the people as to who Jesus was. And yet King Herod, when he heard of who Jesus was and what he had been doing, he says in verse 16, "Jesus is John the Baptist, whom I beheaded." Now, why did he say that? Did he really think that Jesus was the resurrected John the Baptist? I don't think so. I mean, I think there are two main arguments that are powerful enough to actually assume that King Herod didn't think that Jesus was literally the resurrected John. The first reason is because when John was imprisoned and alive, that was also during the early days of Jesus' ministry. So timeline-wise, it just didn't work out. But the second reason is also because when John was buried, John's body was buried without a head. And so in King Herod's mind, perhaps it wouldn't make sense. It would be impossible for John to be resurrected as Jesus with the head. All right, so with those two reasons in mind, why did King Herod say, "Jesus, whom I beheaded, has been raised"? Well, I think it's because King Herod believed that the power and authority that John the Baptist had has been now transferred to Jesus, just as Elisha inherited Elijah's power. Although Elijah was a great prophet, I'm trying to emphasize the ja and sha. Although Elijah was a great prophet, Elisha went on to do greater things than Elijah. Similarly, although John was a mighty preacher, he did not perform any miracles, while Jesus did more miracles than could be recounted. And so, yeah, I don't think King Herod thought that Jesus was literally the resurrected John. I think he believed that the power and authority that John had been transferred to Jesus. Now, this whole passage here is actually very interesting, because in the previous passage, Jesus had sent his disciples out to go from town to town, heal the sick, cast out demons, call for repentance. And then in the passage after today, it says that the disciples had returned and they told Jesus all that they had done on their essentially like a ministry journey. But in between those two passages, we see this passage. And I think it's actually kind of like a flashback scene in a movie. It's like Mark is taking a pause to actually talk about something completely different and irrelevant. And it seems very disconnected. Mark actually does this throughout his gospel account. And this is actually from a literary standpoint, this is called a Markan sandwich. A Markan sandwich has a purpose. There's a theological purpose. The middle story almost always provides the key to the theological purpose of the sandwich, Markan sandwich. The meat in between interprets the outside bread, if you will. I hope that made sense. So let's take a look at the meat, the inside passage, which is our passage today, and talk about how this influences or how this is connected to the outside bread. So, long story short, what we read in our passage today is that King Herod actually had this relationship, this friendship with John. He was actually really intrigued by his preaching, it says in verse 20 that even though he was greatly perplexed by some of the things that he was teaching, he would always hear him gladly. But there was a reason why King Herod had bound him in prison. It wasn't because he didn't like Herod. It wasn't because he didn't like John. It's because of his wife Herodias, who felt threatened by John's accusation that her marriage to King Herod was incestuous. Keep in mind that King Herod had married Herodias, who was his brother Philip's wife. And so, John was telling King Herod that it is not lawful for him to be married to his brother's wife. Herodias had heard of this and was and had a grudge against him. She even wanted to kill him. And so that is why King Herod kept John in prison, so that John would be safe from Herodias, but available to speak with him when the mood struck. Whenever the king wanted to talk with him, he would go down and talk with John. But one day, on King Herod's birthday, his wife Herodias took advantage of King Herod in a moment of weakness, and he tricked him into executing John. How did he do this? He sent Herodias sh sent in her, so many names, sorry. Herodias sent in her daughter to go into the banquet. and to dance for King Herod and his guests. And King Herod was pleased by how she danced, and it was so great that he made a vow to Herodias' daughter. He said, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom." Up to half of my kingdom. Man, that is like such a big vow. Like, I don't know what Herodias' daughter did in order to make this lavish vow, but perhaps he was also intoxicated to some extent. I don't know. You know, the daughter goes back to her mother, and this kind of makes me think that perhaps the daughter is actually very young. It kind of reminds me of when a little kid goes back to, isn't able to make decisions on their own. And so she goes back to her mother and says, "For what should I ask the king? He said I can ask of anything." And the daughter, and Herodias, the wife, tells her daughter, "The head of John the Baptist." Now, I really don't understand what is going on in the daughter's mind, because it says in verse 25, she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." I don't know what's going on in her mind, but that's what happened, and she probably needs therapy in some way. All right, anyways, moving on. We see this, and long story short, the king sends his executioner to go and bring John's head on a platter. And the disciples hear of it, and when they do so, they come and they take his body and lay it in a tomb. Now, what is the purpose of this flashback scene? Well, I think that this flashback scene is actually not just looking back at what happened, but this flashback scene is actually foreshadowing what's to come later in the life of Jesus. Jesus is actually going to experience something very similar to this. And as he sends his disciples out, two by two, as he sends his disciples out from town to town to proclaim the kingdom of God, to go and cast out demons and heal the sick and call for repentance, Jesus is going to make his name known as the Messiah eventually. And people are going to doubt him. People are going to feel threatened by him. And what we come to know already is that Jesus is going to find himself at the footsteps of Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate is going to come at a juncture where he's going to have to make a very difficult decision, where he's going to interrogate Jesus and yet find no fault. And yet the people, the crowds will scream at Pontius Pilate and say, "Crucify him, crucify him." And even though there was no reason that Pontius Pilate found for him to hand him over to the people, yet he did, because he was afraid of what the crowds will do if he said no. So today I want to actually give us some time to remember what Christ has done for us. Mark is trying to tell his readers that something very similar to John the Baptist's death is going to happen to Jesus. And he's preparing his readers for what's going to happen. As his ministry continues to unfold, his timeline towards his crucifixion is fast approaching. And so for today in our reflection, let's reflect on the crucifixion of Christ, the death of Jesus. How wrongful it was. It was injustice. And today what we can do is give thanks to Christ for his death on the cross for our sins. So let's do that today. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus. Father, thank you, Lord, that he had endured all the shame, all the pain. Lord, the wrongful actions and judgments from the people and Pontius Pilate and all so many people, God, the Pharisees and scribes. God, forgive us, Lord, for the ways that even in our own lifetimes, even in our own hearts, Lord, in many ways, God, we had screamed, crucify him, crucify him. And so, God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to repent, to continue to turn away, God, from our old selves, from sin. And help us, Lord, to receive, God, the death of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, that we may live in the newness of life with you, God. Thank you, Lord. We pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for joining today. Sorry that today's devotional is a little bit longer, but I hope you are blessed and are able to reflect on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow.